And praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. This is my favorite time of Apostolic Church, is the Bible class. When I was younger, I hated it. I despised it. When I started our church in Southern California, it scared me to death to think I had to teach a lesson. And then I realized the power and the potency of it and have absolutely fallen in love with the Word of God. And just want to share a nugget with you from the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And it's 8 after. We will be on time. They told me they were cutting my mic off at 11:45. So cut the dude off, man. They're practicing. It has been such a joy to have been here with you these last few services. And I feel like maybe this was emotional, maybe this is just the flesh of me talking, but so much of my spiritual genetics, so much of my view of apostolic revival, so much of my view of the church was formed out of this local assembly. Holy Ghost came to me out of this local assembly. My Sunday school teachers came from this local assembly. And I am just humbled and grateful to have been allowed, privileged, and blessed to have been with you on Friday night, Saturday night, and today. And I do not take it for granted. And I know the services, the preaching part was long, but I bought in to you. That didn't go over real good. I bought into you, and I want you to know that God is still in charge of the church. Period. Doesn't matter what anybody else says or anybody else tries. God's in charge of the church. It's His church. Men get in the way and mess it up, but God's still in charge. And He's going to take care of His church. Aren't you thankful you're in His church today? Amen. And the time's getting away, and I'll need every minute because I love this. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're just going to preach the entire chapter. You think we can do it in 30 minutes? You just honest with me like, nope. Maybe we can highlight the entire chapter. Now, faith is the substance. I know when you say this, people say, I already heard it all. And you perhaps have. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the... Now, I try to be a communicator, and so I like to engage those that I'm talking with. So when I pause, it just means I want you to talk back to me. Through faith, we understand that the were by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so that sets the stage for the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. But there is a truth there that you have to live before you see it. There is a truth in this 11th chapter that you have to experience before it becomes illuminated or revealed to you. And I want to share that with you today. You may be seated in Jesus' name. It's one of the most awesome chapters, in my opinion, in the entire New Testament. If you go into the Pauline epistles or the Johannine epistles, you won't find much better content than the Hebrews or the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And so, how many's ever heard a sermon on faith? How many's ever been going through a little rough patch and somebody pat you on the back and said, man, just keep the faith, it's going to be okay. Come on, this is Sunday school class, so we can talk a little bit here today. And then you're going through hell and you look like hell and everything in the world's going wrong. And somebody says, man, you just need to man up, you can make it. Come on, everything's going to be all right. And you literally want to punch them in the throat. Yeah, you're with me now. Because you and I both know I already like you in the green dress back there. Because you know, sometimes it's not all right. Now, anytime you've heard faith preached, you've heard it preached in such a positive perspective, it gets you biting chunks out of the ceiling, makes you run around, jump pews, and do cartwheels. But today, the faith that I want to talk to you about is a different kind of faith. It's a different perspective of faith. It's a different venue or avenue that takes you to the same place that great faith took these. The end result is the same. Is there anybody here that has a circumstance in your life that's out of control? I do. Does anybody here feel like that there's a circumstance in your life that if God doesn't intervene, you see no way out? Just honesty. It's okay to be that. I know the church preaches such a perfect Christ and such a perfect religion that sometimes we are uncomfortable bringing calamity or crisis into this assembly. And so we have allowed ourselves to perfect, I say this humbly, hypocrisy. We become the greatest of hypocrites because we say he's good, but we think he's unfair. We say, oh, how great is the Lord, this beautiful song we sung this morning. And everything externally is doing right. You know, your hands were lifted, and boy, you had that real concerned look on your face like, Jesus is so good. Oh, thank God. But on the inside, you're saying, if something doesn't happen, what am I going to do tomorrow? Can we just be honest today? And so I like Hebrews 11. And this was born out of a very tough night. What I'm fixing to share with you, it was born out of a lot of tears, a lot of hurt, a lot of frustration, and almost 50 years of misunderstanding faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes faith appears in a different vehicle than what you expect. Let me explain that. Can you put the words back on the screen for me? 11, 1, 2, and 3, I just want to show you something. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So, it's substance of hope. One translator says this is what faith is. When you break down substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen, one translator or theologian wrote it like this, Brother Long. He said, faith is that thing that runs ahead in time and stands beside the fruition or the completion and turns and waits and beckons. So faith, what's faith? I have faith that this is going to happen. And the word comes and gives you faith. So let's understand faith. At that very moment, you feel like it could happen right then. But in reality, what happens is that faith leaves you right in the present, and it goes into the future to where the moment takes place, and it waits there and beckons you. So now you are required to leave the present and press into the future. I call it the process of the prophetic. He declares the end of a thing before the beginning of a thing. God says, I will. We want him to then. He says, that's not what I said. I said, I will. And then tomorrow it's worse. Tuesday it's even worse. Wednesday it's out of control. Thursday you've given up. And 7 months later, God comes through. Right on time. How does that reckon with us? Because you have to learn how faith works. It's the substance of hope. We don't hope in vain. We don't hope just to hope. Paul said, if I had hope in this world, I would be of all men. Faith is a substance of things. So here we go. Verse number 2. The elders obtained a good report. I like this. They obtained a good report. And then verse 3 tricked me. It threw something at me. It says, through faith, we understand. Knowledge came. We understand that the worlds were framed. Okay, so If you're a word buff, if you look at things for face value, you miss things like this and you miss great truths. Worlds were framed by the word of God. If you go back to the creative moment, if you go back to the creation of time, worlds, plural, were not formed. A world was. So for the apostle to use the plurality of worlds opens the door of understanding that he could not be talking about creation. So when he said worlds were framed, you would say creation. But the apostle is saying not creation. Plurality of worlds were framed. So I looked up the word frame, and I've got all these in my notes over there. If you want me to, I can give you the Greek and all that kind of stuff. But the word frame is a compound word. And here's what it means. It means to take an already existing things and alter, reshape, remold its form into something else. So how in the world could the Apostle Paul be talking about the creation of all things new when he said the worlds were framed by pre-existing material? Are we with me? Okay. I mean, I'm with me. I just want to know if you're with me. Sometimes I leave me. I take a pain med. Sometimes I don't know where I'm at. I can take a Tylenol and feel like jumping out of an airplane. I wouldn't be a good drug addict. I'm just telling you. Or maybe I would be. Maybe that's the problem. Lord, forgive me. So I understand that when he talks about framing, that he's talking about using something pre-existing. And then he goes into the beautiful chapter, the Heroes of Faith chapter. And he starts talking. If you'll open your Bibles and stay with me, we're just going to run quickly. He starts talking in verse 4, by faith Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. By faith 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the first level of understanding faith is you have to believe before you ever leave the pew that God is. You can't start believing up here. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. So the miracle doesn't happen here. It happens when you step out by faith. It activates faith. And so we understand that without faith it's impossible to please God. So if you don't have faith, now listen to this. This is what hit me in the head. Without faith, I can't please God. If you don't please God, where does that leave you? Staring eyeball to eyeball with a God that's not pleased with you. Now, I don't care. Well, I do care. But in the context of this conversation, I don't care if my wife's pleased with me and my kids are pleased with me and my church is pleased with me or the president's pleased with me or my superintendent's pleased with me. But I do want God to be pleased with me. I get up every day trying to make God happy. I don't fear his judgment. I want his grace. I want his pleasure. Somebody the other day said, I live for God to miss hell. I said, you missed the whole thing. I'm not living for God to miss hell. I promise you in this pulpit today, I'm not living for God to miss hell. I am not wanting to go to heaven to miss hell. I want to go to heaven. I don't know if you got that. I want to go to heaven. I've never seen streets of gold. I want to see streets of gold. See, this is where I get in trouble. It's already 11:20. I don't know about the economy of God, but I believe the word of God. And he said, if you get on in the book of Revelation, he said the gates, the 12 foundations, and each gate, or each foundation had a gate, all these gates and all these plurals of gates. But it says, and the gates, plural, were made of one pearl. So it's got to be big enough for angels and men to walk in. Now, I like oysters. Am I the only one? No, everybody's going, no. Wrong part of the country. I need to go further south. I know people who like oysters. And pearls come from oysters. And I've eaten some awful big oysters. And I've seen some awful big pearls, but I've never seen an oyster big enough to produce a pearl big enough to get a gate out of. Don't you want to go to heaven just to see the gate of pearl? I mean, isn't there something you says, okay, that's cool. The first gate I come to, I'm going to say, man, what an oyster. So somewhere in the economy of God, he's got a body of water that is producing oysters large enough to pull a pearl out of, to make a gate out of. Sometimes we're better off describing heaven by what's not there rather than what is there. Because you'll never exhaust what is there. But if you start eliminating what's not there, it introduces heaven more clear. Heaven has no pain. Heaven has no hurt. Heaven has no death. Heaven has no division, no divisiveness, no discord. Heaven has a towel that only Jesus Christ has possession of. And the minute you walk through the gates, he said, and he shall wipe away all tears. Not only will I get to stand with him and hear him say, well done, that, and this is what we're hoping for, well done, thou good and faithful servant, but when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, he's going to have to get me close enough to him, or I'm going to have to get close enough to him for him to physically touch me and remove the tear ducts from my eyes, because he's symbolizing to me, you've now entered a place where you'll never need a tear. That's why I want to go to heaven. Forget hell. If there was no hell, I'd still want to go to heaven. Okay. By faith, Abraham. By faith, he sojourned. Hebrews 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed, verse 13, that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth. The reason why people backslide in the church today is because they don't understand that verse. If you don't get out of you where you come from, hear me clearly, God will give you an opportunity to go back to it. People that halfway pray through ain't going to make it. People that pray through but hold on to a little bit of the world, they ain't going to make it. Because the word says he will give you opportunity to go back to where you've come from if you ever have a longing. That's why the old preachers used to preach to us on love not this present world. Come from this present world. Get away from this present world, because they knew and understood you can't make heaven holding on to Egypt. Won't work. They that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. Truly they've been mindful of the country that's come out, the mount of that opportunity to return. Remember those, 13, 14, 15. But now they desire a better country. This is where it gets really good. By faith, Abraham was tried. And then 19, it counted that God was able to raise him up. Faith, Joseph. Or let's go 20, by faith, Isaac. And 21, by faith, Jacob. And 22, by faith, Joseph. And by faith, Moses. And my God. Here we go. Moses again. Chose to suffer the affliction with God's people. I remember. Remember being about 8 years old and hearing Brother Fletcher preach in this church, refusing the scepter of Egypt for a shepherd's staff. That was his text. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for the season, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Are you still with me? I'm not boring you, right? Okay, because we've only got like 20 minutes left. By faith, the walls of Jericho. By faith, the harlot Rahab. Now, here's where I'm going to make it real to you. Jackson, Tennessee, 1:30 in the morning. We had taken Colton with us, and I was at the desk trying to study, pray, seek God. It was one of the few trips that he felt strong enough to get out of the house. And so my wife was able to travel, and we went to Jackson to preach. And about 1:30 in the morning, Brother Long, he woke us up, and he said, I can't do it. You got to help me. And so we gave him... He was on this regimen of meds, and we gave him breakthrough drugs, and breakthrough drugs didn't work, and we gave him a little bit more breakthrough. It didn't work. And Brother Long, I'll never forget sitting in that hotel room floor. He's too big to hold on my lap, but I had him between my legs, and I wrapped my arms around him like a little baby, and I began to rock him, and I began to plead, God, please. God, please. I'm not asking you to heal him tonight. I'm just asking you to take the pain tonight. And the weeping and the brokenness that come from him, the Dad, why, Dad, we were thinking it's a hospital run. Well, they don't understand. Would it be worth it? And we didn't know what to do. It went from 1:30 to 4:30. And finally, the Lord heard our prayer, and sleep came upon him. And so I managed to get him toward the bed and into the bed. And I told my wife, I said, go to bed, get some rest. I said, I got to figure something out this morning. And so I went back to the desk and I prayed and I said, God, I don't ask for much. And I know that this life and this journey is what it is. And I know that we pray in faith and you're not always going to answer. But it would seem to me as apostolics, as simple as take the pain. I didn't ask you to take the tumor and the cancer. I just said, take the pain. You would do that. Anybody ever prayed something believing that God would, but he didn't? Now, I'm going to preach to you a different kind of faith today. I've prayed often for people and believed that they were going to be healed, and they weren't healed. For a while there, man, I was afraid to go back to the hospitals because every time I went to pray for somebody, it didn't work. I thought, man, I'm the angel of death. I'm not the angel of deliverance. Lord, heal them. That just means God's fixing to take them. I mean, don't call me. You don't want me showing up. So you get to thinking, man, this faith thing, I've messed up. And so I, on that Sunday morning, looked toward the heavens and said, it's me. I'm the reason that God is not healing my son. Isn't it amazing how quick we personalize what we don't understand? If God doesn't do something, before long the enemy comes in and says, well, if you lived better, if you fasted more, if you prayed more, if you were more righteous, if you were. And then you come to church and hear somebody say, just have faith. And you're like, hook you. Young folk are smiling, the old folk are going. It's like, don't tell me to have faith. I told my wife recently, I said, if one more person walks up to me and slaps me on my back and tells me it's going to be okay, just have faith, honey, I swear to all that's holy, I'm going to slap them. Look at me. Do I act like a man that doesn't have faith? Do I look stupid? Just have faith. God's got you, brother. Of course God's got me. I'm still here. Don't tell me what I already know. That's an insult to my integrity. Of course. You might as well laugh. It's not going to get any better today. This preaching thing don't work out. I'm going to be a comedian. Have faith. I have faith. Then why didn't it happen? I either lost my hearing or it just got real quiet. So if you have faith and you prayed in faith and God heard you and it didn't happen, why did it happen? This is the question I'm asking at 5:30 in the morning as my family finally settles into some type of rest before we were expected to be at the services. Why didn't it happen? How many times have people come and filled this altar? How many cancer patients, heart patients had come at the moment of death and we prayed for them only for them to cross over, and the next thing you hear is, if you really had faith. Faith is the most precious commodity you can possess. I can prove to you from the Gospels alone that you can add to your faith, you can deplete your faith, you can lose your faith, you can increase your faith, you can have little faith, you can have great faith, you can have no faith. which proves it is a commodity that can be purchased or gained. You get a peace when you get saved. You get a peace when you get born again. And what you do with that peace determines what kind of faith you have. Great or small, big, little, you determine the amount of faith. So if I have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, I can move a mountain. How come I can't even get pain to leave then? Am I too real this morning? I mean, okay, all right. What shall I more say? Here we go. What shall I more say? For the time would fail of me to tell of Barak, of Samson, of Balak. Still with me? Jephthah, David also, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, and stopped the mouths of lions, who through faith, get this, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. This is a big one. Stop the mouths of lions. Quench the violence of fire. My God. These are people just like you and I that had faith. They did all this great stuff. And I can't even get pain to leave. And these dudes are whooping lions. Okay. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Stay with me on the screens. Thank you. You are out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight. Turn to flight the arms of the alien. Here we go, 35, if you'll put it on there. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Did you hear what I just said? I'm in a hotel room begging God. God, just give him some rest. I mean, just give him 3 hours where he can close his eyes and check out of this world so his body restores itself. Come on, God, I'm not asking for a great thing. I just need this little bit. Women receive their dead raised to life. Some mama just looked at her child and said, I rebuke death, and they got up. And I'm saying, please, Jesus, my God, oh God, God, I quit eating. Just see if you're listening. All the pledges, all the bargaining. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Are you with me? Read with me. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Read with me now. And not that they might a better. And so this is where the Lord took me, and we're going to make it in Jesus' name. This is where the Lord took me. He said, I'm going to show you what true faith is. And I'm like, finally, hello, heaven. Here it is. So entire 34 verses of miraculous results of faith. He lists all these others and he says, oh, I'm running out of time. I don't even have time to tell you Jephthah of David, of Barak, of Samson. If I could tell you about those guys. So here's what you have. You've got the heroes of faith in the 11th chapter book of Hebrews that are so notable that not only are their names mentioned, their deeds are. So, I mean, these guys are great. They got faith. Faith means you get your name written. Faith means you get to tell everybody. And so I'm praying, ask God, God heal my boy so I can go all around the world saying my boy had cancer and God miraculously healed him. I want to be just like people that have faith. And so at this time, the devil began to wear me out, and he almost had me convinced because God didn't answer my prayer. It must have meant I didn't have faith. Anybody ever felt that way? Okay, one word. And the Holy Ghost said, look at it. And have you ever heard a sermon on others? Because it's not a big word. It's not a profound word. It's not a deep theological word. It's just there in the middle of the greatest chapter of faith. But oh, if you ever lift the surface and see what's under it. And for the next 5 minutes, I want to share with you what's under it. And others. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Next verse. And had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, bond of imprisonment. Wait. You got all these people over here whose names and deeds are listed. And then the apostle says, oh, yeah, there's another group, others. You mean you don't even say Mary didn't get her prayer answered? You just say others. Jephthah, David, Samson, Noah, others. Great ones, others. Profound ones. Others. And others had trial of cruel mocking, scourgings. Yeah, were more of a bonds and imprisonment. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. I'm talking about the same apostolic church. This girl gets healed. This guy dies. Why? Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in desert mountains and dens and caves of the earth. They didn't have a place to sleep. And here we go. He said, just keep looking because I'm going to give you a revelation. He said, and these. What? And these. Obtained a. Through even them that received not the promise. So you've got 34 verses, names and deeds missed, and then you've got a few things where they said, oh yeah, there were mothers who lost children. There was a bunch of them that were stoned. There was a bunch of them that were in prison. There was a bunch of them wondered. They don't even get their names. They are not even worthy enough to have their name listed. It's just a whole conglomeration of a whole bunch of folk that a horrible calamity took place. And in the great Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, this is all they get. They are called others. But in great clarity, the Spirit spoke to the church and said, but these all obtained the same reward. I know we got 5 minutes, and these all got the same reward. Hang on a minute. So I ask you to heal and you don't. He asks you to heal and you do, and we get the same reward? Explain that to me. And these all, having obtained a, received not the promises. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You with me? So here it is. Sometimes we get caught up in the performance of God. Sometimes we get messed up in what faith is. Faith is not what God does. Faith is what God can do. Yeah, I know it's not deep. I could have talked to you about the seven seals, and you'd have been sitting on the edge of your seat saying, oh, finally, now we're going to understand the seven seals and vials and all the horses. But something so precious as faith, we don't take time to really study it, figure it out, to learn to live by it. And these all. That means the guys that names are listed and deeds are listed, they prayed, they got their miracle, and it happened. And then this other group of people that prayed and it didn't happen. You know what they had in common? They had faith. You know what they had in common when they died? Kept faith. You know what they have on the great resurrection? The same faith. So the point I'm trying to make today is faith is not what God does. Faith is what God can do. And so you have to please Him by having faith. You've got to present yourself to Him with faith. So if the enemy can trick you in your moment of crisis, when you pray and it doesn't happen, and he convinces you that God doesn't like you, God can't, or you're not worthy enough, and you lose faith. That's why Job finally, after all that happened to him, all the hell he went through, finally rose and said, let me declare to you one thing. I came into this world naked. I'm going to leave naked. But let there be no misunderstanding. God is a faithful and a just and a righteous God. He gives and he takes. So my declaration in this Bible class this morning, the most precious commodity you will ever possess in this lifetime is not a 401k. It's not a retirement plan that's actually a good one. It's not a new car. It's not a vacation home. It's not a better job or more money. It's, do you have faith? And the only way you know you really have faith is when you pray for something that doesn't happen. And it doesn't change your perception of God. This is a poor analogy. Are you my 5-minute mark? Okay. Do I have like 30 seconds left? Okay, all right. Are you always this shy? Okay, just checking. I just love picking on shy people. I like asking everybody to kind of look at them and pay attention to them. And yeah. If you had a slot machine that every time you put a quarter in it, you won, is it luck? I mean, every time you put a quarter in it, you won. It's not luck. It's a guaranteed thing. What attracts people to that aspect of life is it's the chance. So faith. Faith. What is faith? Is it when I ask God to do something and he does it? Is that faith? Or is it when I ask God to do something and he doesn't, but I still believe he can? Though he slay me, yet I trust him. Though it doesn't happen. God, I've prayed for 7 days, fasted for 32 and a half minutes. Did I get that backwards? I've done all I know to do, God. I've begged you, pleaded with you, fasted, prayed, been faithful, covered everything, make sure my life was as good as I could get it. And I come to you with faith in my heart asking you. And I look back to Jephthah and David and Samson and Barak and all those others and all the heroes of faith who ask in God. And then I'm just reminded of that one little word that brings in a whole new class of saints. You'll never find their names. You'll never find their deeds. Matter of fact, they died not getting the miracle. But when the apostle summed them up as a whole, he didn't say these that had faith and these that didn't have faith. He said, and these obtained the same reward. So dearly beloved, whatever you do, don't lose. Prayed for 5 years and it hadn't happened. Prayed for 10 years and it didn't happen. It's okay. It may not happen. But as long as you have faith, you will stand one day right next to the guy that the prophet rolled in, laid hands and said, be healed and restored, and did everything, got everything, lived 500 more years. He's going to stand right next to you on that great day. And God's not going to say, because you had faith and you got your miracle, you're a higher class of Christian, and you go to the Lord. God's just going to say, welcome to the class of faith. Faith has many faces. Would you stand and do that? Would you stand and just give God thanks for what faith really is? It's believing He can.
Amen. Wasn't that good today? Amen. You're dismissed at this time. You know, take some time, get a drink, get your kids, and let's come back and believe God for great things in the second half of this service. Amen.